Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. Luke 15, we're going to read verse 11 through 32. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of a far country, and sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would not fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he had came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring him hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother has come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said unto his father, lo, these many years I do serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We ask right now, God, that you'll just touch us and speak to us here today. Anoint your servant. God, let your will be done. We give you praise and glory, Lord. Touch every heart here today in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to speak to you this morning, the pig pen experience. The pig pen experience. In Luke 15:21, and the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. You see, when you look into Luke 15, it contains three parables which all have a common theme. Rejoice and celebrate with me. That which was lost is now found. In Luke 15:6, and when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. You also read in Luke 15:9, it said, when he hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece, or the coin, which I had lost. And finally, in Luke 15:23-24, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they begin to be merry. Luke 15, folks, we read that what is commonly referred to as the parable of the prodigal son. Some people have suggested this passage of scripture be renamed the parable of the loving father. For this parable describes the love of the father showed his youngest son when he returned home. But yet the youngest son had what I call a bad attitude. He wanted things his way. He wanted his inheritance now. And he wanted to be independent and out on his own. So the son received his money. He left home. He traveled to a distant foreign land. He soon wasted all of his wealth on sinful and worldly lifestyle. This nice Jewish boy now found himself in a non-kosher situation. He was hungry. He had hit rock bottom and was working in a pig pen. In Luke 15, 16 through 17, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have been bread enough to spare? And I perish with hunger. Folks, it took a pig pen experience before this prodigal son come to his senses and realize how good he had it back home. Do we possess, I want it my way, I want it now attitude? Amen. Think about it this morning. Do we possess a I want it my way, I want it now attitude? Do we often find ourselves drifting away from our Heavenly Father and enticed by worldly possessions? See, God has given us the freedom to choose. Amen? He gave us that freedom, and I'm glad for that. Amen? But what will it take for us to come to our senses? Now, I'm afraid many Christians may have to go through a pig pen or a valley experience before they realize that God still does love them. Neither the son's father nor God caused this wayward son to end up in the pig pen. It wasn't his father. It wasn't his brother. It wasn't his God. It was him, his choices that took him to that pig pen, that took him into that place that to him was a disgusting place. You see, folks, if we go up and we see the pigs and we realize how dirty it is, but even to a Jew it was even worse than that. They weren't to touch that stuff. They weren't to be around it. They weren't to eat it. You see, the son's own choices, the son's own actions put him there. Rebellion. The younger son said to his father in verse 11, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. So the father, he honors his son's request. And his son ran off into a far country to live in luxury. But according to Jewish law, the elder son received twice as much as the other sons in Deuteronomy 21. And a father could distribute his wealth during his lifetime if he wished. It was perfectly legal for the younger son to ask for his share of the estate and to even to sell it. But it was certainly not a very loving thing on his part. You see, it was as if though he were saying to his father, Father, I wish you were dead. Come on. A man by the name of Thomas Huxley said, a man's worst difficulties begin when he is able to do just as he likes. How true is that today? A man's worst difficulties begin when he is able to do just as he likes. We are always heading for trouble, folks, whenever we value things more than people, pleasures more than duty, and distant scenes more than the blessings we have right at home. You see, Jesus once warned two disputing brothers. He said, take heed and beware of covetousness in Luke 12. Because the covetous person can never be satisfied. No matter how much they acquire or he acquires. And a dissatisfied heart leads that person to disappointment. If you are coveting after this or that. Folks, we need to understand that we need to be thankful for what God has blessed us with every day. Hallelujah. The prodigal son learned the hard way. He learned that you cannot enjoy the things money can buy if you ignore the things money cannot buy. Amen? He learned that. When he was sitting there one day and realizing where he was, and he began to think about home. And probably as he looked around and he saw this slop and all this mud and all this nasty stuff with these pigs, he probably, man, I've been to the servants' quarters. They're much better than this. And the food that's on their table is so much better than this husk. So he learned the hard way that you cannot enjoy things money can buy if you ignore things that money cannot buy. The far country is not necessarily a distant place to which we must travel, folks, because the far country exists first of all in our minds. The younger son, he dreamed of enjoying his freedom, far from home, away from his father, away from his brother, away from all that responsibility. I'm tired of this. I just want to leave this. You know, we live in a day and age, folks, where people have a hard time accepting responsibility. When pressures come, they can't handle it anymore. And so they begin to dream of a place, if I could just get away from this, everything will be better. But understand this morning, you can't run from life. Because life will catch you up wherever you're at. And that's what the prodigal son here did. He said, he was dreaming of enjoying his freedom. If I can get out of here. I don't have this pressure every day. Well, nobody giving me the demands to do this and to do that. That's just what life is. Life is full of demands. Life is full of pressures. Come on. And when you come to your senses, you'll realize that. That I have to just learn to accept these things. And understand it's just part of life. And that I have to have responsibility. I have to have pressures. I have to have leadership in my life. I have to have these things. But I can do it all with Jesus. Come on. Hallelujah. It may be hard for me to handle this stuff, but with Jesus, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Life gets heavy. Life gets hard. There's days that you just say, I don't know how I can get through this. Amen? And that's where we just need to just take a moment, step aside, and say, Lord, right now, I need you. I need your strength. I need you in my life. I thank God that he's there every day for us, folks. Now, a lot of times Christians get to looking at things and, well, you know, we got a pastor expects me to be in church and in small groups and do this and do that. Well, I don't need this if I can just get away from it. Let me tell you something. Life is hard whether you're in the church or not. But I would rather serve the Lord, amen, and go through life in its rough times, in its hard times with Jesus Christ by my side, amen. Hallelujah. It's a choice. It's a decision. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to serve God no matter what comes my way. Amen. He said he'll never leave me nor forsake me. I need him in my life. Hallelujah. I need the Lord every day. And God puts these things. God asks us to do certain things, folks, when we live for him, because he knows what's best for us. You see, when God put Adam and Eve out of the garden, God knew the demands that were going to come their way. They had it made in the garden. They had everything they needed. It was provided for them. They were to take care and tend to the garden. Sounds like a nice life, living in the garden. Where do you live? I live in the garden. What do you do there? I tend the garden. Where do you get your food? In the garden. Everything he needs in the garden. Pretty nice life. But see, there's that looking and coveting after other things. See, well, that's how it is, kind of like when we live for God. I live for God. He's a good God. God's with me every day. He goes to work with me. He does this, he does that. God's there in my rough times, in my hard times. But sometimes we get to be looking things that are appealing to the eyes. And we go after those things. And we leave the comforts and the goodness of God. Amen? Dreamed, like this prodigal son, dreamed of enjoying his freedom far from home, away from God and his rules, the pastor and his expectations, mom and dad, husband and wife, the kids. You can't run. You can't run. Because life follows you wherever you go. So here, the prodigal, he wants to enjoy his freedom from home. You see, folks, if the sheep was lost through foolishness, and the coin was lost through carelessness, the prodigal son was lost because of willfulness. Willfulness. He made the choice. And folks, through the years in pastoring, I've seen the choices that some people have made. And they can't blame anybody but themselves. I had a man tell me one time, he left our church, and I saw him several years later. I would give anything to be back in that church at a certain time with this folks and these folks and them folks. I would give anything in the world, he told me. When the prodigal son came to his senses, what I wouldn't give to be home with dad. What I wouldn't give to be home, hey, with my brother. What I wouldn't give to be home and sitting at the table with the servants coming around and patting me on the back and saying, it's good to see you home. What I wouldn't give. I'm not even worthy to be called your son anymore, Dad. He wanted to have his own way, so he rebelled against his own family and broke his father's heart. You see, but life in the far country was not what he expected. Amen? It's not what we expect. Now we think, and the devil, you know, he likes to add to those dreams and tell you, man, if you just get out of there, you can do what you want and everything's going to be fine for you. But it's never what you expect. You see, his resources ran out. His friends, oh, they left him. And famine came. And the prodigal was forced to do for a stranger. Hear me. The prodigal was forced to do for a stranger what he would not do for his own father. You see, his father wanted him to work. I don't want it. I don't want to do that. I don't want to hear, have you tell me to do this and have me tell you I need to do that. But he went out into a place and in the situations he didn't expect. And he did for a total stranger what he wouldn't do for his father. You see, folks, Christians sometimes they get that faraway look in their eye. And they think, I don't need this. I don't need, you know, the standards. I don't need this. And I don't need the pastor expecting this or mom and dad expecting that or the husband and wife expecting me to do that. Well, let me tell you something, folks. I said, you can't run from life. And you may leave, but you end up doing out there in a strange world, being addicted to certain things. And expected of certain things when you could have done them at home. The scene in the drama of our Lord's way of emphasizing what sin really does to us, folks. In lives of those who reject the Father's will, sin will expect a whole lot more out of you. Sin promises freedom, but it only brings slavery. Sin promises a success, but it only brings failure. Sin promises life, but the wages of sin is death. The prodigal thought he would find himself, but he only lost himself. You see, when God is left out of our lives, enjoyment becomes enslavement. How many of us have followed in the prodigal's footsteps? How often have you gone your own way? Indifferent toward the love and the grace of God. Indifferent toward the love of the saints. Indifferent toward the family that loves you and cares for you. We've all been there. We've rebelled from time to time. We make decisions. We choose paths that we know that our God would not choose for us, as if to say, I wish you were dead. See, we leave behind the love of God in exchange for the lies of Satan. Come on. Come on, worship him right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when we leave behind the love of God in exchange for the lies of Satan, and then we wonder, can God really forgive me? When you're alone at night with just your thoughts, are they thoughts of despair? Are they thoughts of hopelessness? Are they thoughts of frustration? You see, the private thoughts of this prodigal in the pig pen, in a far country, gives us some hope. In Luke 15, 14 and 15, says, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. Do we find ourselves in pig pen situations of our own making? If you do, then like the prodigal son, you need to get up. And you need to say to yourself, like in Luke 15, 18, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Hallelujah. This son, the son had come to a point of recognizing, he came to a point of realizing he was lost. We need to come to some point sometimes in our life that I'm wrong. I have done wrong. I have made some wrong decisions. You see, AA, they can't help a person until the person realizes, hi, I'm Bill, and I'm an alcoholic. Come on. I mean, they sit around in those chairs, and they call out their own name, and they tell people what's wrong with them. But yet, in church sometimes, folks, we're so afraid to admit that we're wrong. We don't want to hear a brother or sister come to us and tell us, hey, brother, I'm seeing some things here. I'm concerned. Who do you think you are? Come on, we need to love a brother or a sister that will come to you and say, hey, man, you need to get your act together. But yet out in the world, they'll sit around and say, hey, I'm Bill, and I'm an alcoholic. I've made a mess of my life. Because, see, folks, the reason you're at where you're at, it's not because of your mom. It's not because of your dad. It's not because of your pastor. It's not because of your brother or sister. It's not because of God. You're there because of choices you made. The son had come to a point of recognizing, realizing he was lost. And in Luke 15:21, and the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. We need to admit our wrong. Because until you can admit you're wrong, you're probably still on a path to repeat it. All right? If you think you're all right, I just got to get out of this jam that I'm in. Well, why are you in the jam? Well, I don't know, just things happen. No, it's your fault. 1 John 1:8-9 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But it says, if we confess. Well, I don't want anybody else to know. I don't want everybody to know. Really? You think they're dumb? You think they can't see where you're at? Does their face say stupid? James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. See, the lost prodigal son said he was no longer worthy to be called a son, but the father knew otherwise. You see, one of the reasons it's probably easy for the father to forgive him and to hug him and to kill the fatted calf was because the son said, I'm wrong. I'm wrong, Dad. I was wrong in what I did. Forgive me. Come on. Hallelujah. Luke 15:32. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. There comes a time when we need to let go of the issue or the issues that frustrate us. Now, we talked about this son, and where he ended up, and what he realized he needed to do. But I want to talk to you about how he got there. Have you ever thought about what it takes to become a prodigal son? You see, I don't believe this young man woke up one morning and on a whim decided to take his inheritance and leave the country. I don't think it was just one more and boom. I believe there was a process that led up to him leaving his father's household. And that process started with one word. It's the same word that causes many of us to set in motion a string of bad decisions. And those decisions ultimately take us places we don't want to go or we never thought we'd ever go. And that word is called frustration. There probably was a rivalry between the two brothers. Maybe the prodigal felt as though he would or could never live up to his older brother's reputation. People probably said to him, "You're not like your older brother. He was always a better student. His older brother probably was always a better athlete." And over a period of time, the prodigal began to believe that he could never be like his older brother. The path of frustration. You see, when people are frustrated, they rarely ever seek wise counsel. But the truth is that they really don't want good advice. Amen? They're looking for people who will tell them what they want to hear. They find someone else who is frustrated with the person they're frustrated with, in this case, the older brother. The prodigal and his advisor talk about everything the older brother did or ever did to them. It was probably the prodigal's friend who told him to go ask for your part of the family inheritance and just leave. So between the two of them, they worked out a scenario of how great everything would be once the prodigal got away from the older brother and out from under his father's jurisdiction. You see, frustration, folks, causes us to think about change. But being frustrated with something or someone does not mean it's time to leave. Let me say that again. Being frustrated with something or someone does not mean it's time to leave. It's an indication that we have a personal issue that we need to get rid of or we need to take care of. Now, if God is leading us to do something different, we should follow his leading. But we should never initiate change out of frustration. Amen? You see, because when God wants you to go do something, that's a happy time. Amen? You know, you don't want the boss to promote you just because you're frustrated. You want him to promote you because you're a good worker. You've earned it. Come on. You know what you told me the other day, Carl? If somebody's worth $11 an hour, give it to them. Don't wait till they decide to leave. If they're worth it, they're worth it. And that's how God looks at our lives, folks. If we're worthy of something, God blesses us with it. It's a blessing from God. He promotes you. But he's not going to do it when you're in a situation of frustration and you won't take care of things the way he expects you to. Why don't people realize is if they don't deal with what's bothering them, their frustration will only grow. For instance, if they don't straighten out the issue later on, they'll become frustrated with their friends, with their family, with their coworker, with their pastor, with their brother and sister in the Lord. Anytime we're frustrated, it's not the other person's issue. Hear me? I said, anytime we're frustrated, it's not the other person's issue. It's our issue. And our frustration doesn't mean that other people need to make a paradigm shift in order to coddle us. They don't have to move heaven and hell in order to coddle us, folks. It's our issue. It's up to us to deal with it. If you don't, you're going to find yourself on a downward slide. You see, when the prodigal left town, he thought his life would get better. That's what he thought. Now, we can look at the situation, we realize that boy messed up. But so many times, when we're the ones that's frustrated, we fool ourselves into thinking, if I can just leave town, everything's going to be fine. Do you really, really think that? Over the years, I've never seen it to be true. But yet, when it comes to us, now, you know, when we're giving the advice to somebody else, no, don't do that. You need to take care of the situation. But when it comes to us, if I just get out of there, everything will be fine. Really? See, I don't think if we don't do what God tells us to do, like in Matthew 18, then how can we expect things to get better for us? You might have your honeymoon time. But like I said, you can't run from life. Amen? You can't run from life. So the prodigal thought, well, if I get out of here, everything will be better. He didn't plan on living the prodigal lifestyle. He just wanted to make a name for himself. But see, but once he was away from his family, he begins to surround him by new influences that caused his lifestyle to change. He began making wrong decisions. The choice he made led him down the wrong road. One wrong road after another wrong road. Until one day he dead-ended into a pig pen. You see, folks, when you're going down the wrong way, you're bound to end up in the pig pen. And he began making wrong decisions. The choice he made led him down one wrong road after another until one day he ended up in the pig pen. And when people end up in the pig pen, they often start blaming somebody else for getting them there. They don't realize that their frustration was the start of their downward spiral. You see, that's usually heart issues. The pig pen wasn't the prodigal's problem. You see, even getting his inheritance wasn't the problem. The problem started long before that. The prodigal's problem started in his heart. We have to look honestly, folks, at our heart. Amen? Have we allowed bitterness? Have we allowed strife to creep in to our hearts? Are we allowing issues to boil? Are we allowing issues to start festering? You see, if we are, we need to deal with those things. Because that's not what God wants. And if we don't, before you know it, we'll become like the prodigal. We'll walk out the door and down the same path that he did. You see, there comes a time, folks, there comes a time when we have to let go of the issues that frustrate us. We see in Luke 15 that the young prodigal, verse 17, said he came to himself. He came to himself. Unfortunately, it takes someone a long time to come to themselves. Some Christians who are once on fire for God have been wallowing in the pig pen for decades and still haven't come to themselves. They've allowed bitterness, they've allowed resentment into their heart, and it's changed their destiny. So today, folks, if you're in a pig pen, it's time to come to yourselves and get out. You see, if a family member or a friend is in the pig pen, they need to come to their own selves. They need to come to their own senses. You can't drag them out of that pig pen until they come to themselves. Amen? We can try to lead them out, but we can't pull them out. We can't pull them out until they're ready to get out. They'll just get mad at you because they don't see themselves as being in the pig pen. The older brother, he never ended up in the pig pen, but he also had issues. See, he wasn't happy to see his father. The older brother had an opportunity to learn a big lesson The older brother had the opportunity to learn a big lesson when his younger brother, the prodigal, came home. And that was to love somebody despite his mistakes. See, we know from the parable that he didn't do that. The people who stay in the father's house can just sit just as much as those in the pig pen. They can sin just as much as those in the pig pen. Outwardly, they seem to be doing all the right things. But inwardly, they're harboring a lot of wrong attitudes. You see, but it's really not about this sin or that sin, folks. It's about getting our hearts to a place where no matter what, God's love is poured out through us to all those around us. When God's love is the motivation behind our actions, we will be full of compassion toward others. Let's stand. The love will help us not become frustrated in our day-to-day lives. The love of God. That's why we need it every day. It'll help us not to give in to that frustration. The love of God, it will keep us out of the pig pen. It will help us to be merciful to people who are in the pig pen. What kind of choice are you making? If you're in the pig pen, can you admit it's your fault? Can you come to this altar and say, God, I've sinned against you. I've sinned against you. I accept the responsibility. How about it today, folks? Maybe you haven't been to the pig pen. Maybe you are harboring some things that will lead you there. Can we be honest today? This altar's open. Can we be honest today? Say, God, if you're there, I'm sorry. If you're on your way, God, help me. Help me, Jesus. Come on. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.